For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Double Coverage Podcast. I'm Stacy Blackwood here with Jake Thomas. We're glad to be back with you after a couple weeks off. We had a few family things going on, so we've been off for a couple weeks. But we're looking forward to getting back into it. But before we get to our games this week, we both got a couple things that we need to get off our chest. So with that, I'm going to hand things off to Jake and tell him what's on your mind, Jake.
Hey, guys. Yeah. You know, baseball season's over with. Just one second. The Boston Red Sox. That team's loaded. They're probably going to be around for the next several years, as always. I mean, they're a big market team. They've got the money. But my rant tonight is going to be about our favorite team, the Atlanta Braves. And more particularly on the ownership and the fan base. Ownership-wise, Braves have revenued up over $500 million this year alone. And, I mean, that is a ton. I mean, you think you got plenty of money to spend on free agencies, especially in the class that we got, you know, free agent classes coming up this year. And this offseason, I mean, there's rumors that Clayton Kershaw is going to be let go or get out of his contract with the Dodgers. So there'd be a big pickup. Bryce Harper, I mean, Manny Machado. I mean, you can go on and on this class, this free agent class coming up. Beginning of the year, in an interview, the GM for the Braves, Alex Anthony. So, Paulos, I can never think of his, you know, it's so hard to say his last name. But he said Living Media, you know, the power to chop down any aisle. To me, that sounds like we're going to have to dig a big free agent this winter. Well, in the season, they asked him the same exact question. Livia Media has changed their mind, according to Alex, and has said, you know, we don't have the necessary funds to go after a big name target. So what changed? I mean, if we're making all this money, and really the only person who's got a big contract on the team now is, you know, of course, is Freddie Freeman.
Right.
And his Toronto is like at $11 million. I mean, he'd be great trade bait if we can get rid of him, but I don't know if we can. But I mean that's your two biggest guys now. Mike Fultonevich, he proved this year to be – I said he was the ace because, I mean, he was the ace of the staff this year. But he's at best a high-end two guy.
I agree.
Two ace. But, I mean, he's on arbitration this year, so he'll get paid. I think we need to do maybe a 2 to 3 year contract with him because, I mean, he might be a trade bait, you know, if we decide to actually go after – a better option. But and then the fan base, I also want to rant about them. You know, I follow a group or a couple of groups on Facebook and Twitter and stuff, but it's like they're Braves fans. It's all about the Braves. But, you know, I comment on that. I said, you know, it would be awesome to have Bryce Harper in the middle of that lineup. You know, you have Acuna, Albies, Freddie, you know, Camargo, and Harper. I mean, that ought to strike fear into any National League pitcher out there. That lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So when you make that comment, they're like, "Oh, I would rather see the Braves lose than see Harper in the Braves uniform." Really? I mean, you would rather see the Braves lose instead of getting better. You rather live in mediocrity, like we have been for the past 6, 7, 8 years, instead of seeing the Braves actually go after somebody and get better because of what Harper has done. You know, he did defame the A down there at Turner Field. But I mean, you got to let bygones be bygones. I mean, if it's going to improve the team, go after it. And I guarantee you, if the Braves did hire, you know, sign him, you'd be out there cheering for him the first game of the year. So don't give me that crap.
Yeah, you know, people that say they don't want certain players signed because of past grievances.
Yeah.
Especially a player of Bryce Harper's capability, you know, what he's capable of doing on the baseball field.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
I mean, the Braves are an organization that's end goal is to win a World Series championship.
That's right.
So that means you should go out and get the best players that you can possibly get. If that means you got to give up a Mike Fulton Neves to get a true number one pitcher, then that's what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's a business, and the business is about winning championships. And if you're not willing to sign and or trade the correct personnel to get the personnel you need to win a championship, then what are you doing? You're for lack of a better term, you're pissing in the wind.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what the Braves have done for several years now.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked back and forth about it several times, and it's one of those things that it seems like, you know, like you said, at the beginning of the year, it felt like, well, maybe this year will be different.
You're right.
And, you know, maybe this winter they'll go after somebody, and they still might. I don't know.
Right.
It's something to watch. I'm hoping they do. I hope they make a big splash, because they're really just a couple players away from being able to compete, you know, with the Dodgers to win the National League.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Next season. So,
yeah.
So that's Jake's rant, so to speak, for this week.
Yeah. What's yours, man?
Well, mine is the so-called collusion between the Alabama between the SEC officials in Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of the more idiotic things that I've ever heard in my life.
Right.
I mean, it really makes you almost wonder, you know, what these people are on. I mean, James Carville for, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know if he still works for CNN. He used to work for CNN.
Yeah.
You know, he came out with that big story, you know, about the collusion and how, you know, because Devin White was suspended and Mack Wilson wasn't. And, you know, the Alabama's got their hand in the SEC officials' pocket. And but before I continue on, let me just give you a couple stats real quick mm-hmm. that just really shut this narrative down.
Right.
Since 2015, the best Alabama has finished in opponent penalties, which means the number of times your opponents have been called for a penalty in each game, the best they have ranked is 102nd.
Wow.
So
big collusion.
So, you know, opponent penalty wise, their opponents have been penalized less than 90% of college football.
Yeah.
In 2018 so far, they're 60th this year. So they are on track to be a lot better. But the past two seasons, they have finished dead last in the country in opponent penalties.
Wow.
So their opponents have been called over the past two seasons for less penalties in their games against Alabama than all the other teams in the country. Mm-hmm. So eat that, collusion conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
But, you know, and as far just to be more specific on the Devin White incident, by the letter of the law, it was a targeting.
Yeah.
I don't agree with the letter of the law, but the letter of the law, what he did was targeting. You cannot hit a quarterback above the head.
No.
Or above the neck. It doesn't matter if it was intentional or if it was, you know, he meant to hit him real hard, because obviously he didn't mean to do that because he was kind of leading with his hands. But you cannot hit a quarterback above the shoulder pads.
Right.
I mean, that's – right now, that's football 101 when it comes to how you attack the quarterback. I mean, they just will not let you hit him above the shoulders. And if your head – is hitting the quarterback above the shoulder, they're going to call targeting because that's the rule.
Yeah.
And they didn't call targeting on Mack Wilson because he didn't even get close to hitting him with his head or in the head. If you slow it down and watch it, Mack Wilson's head was up and he hit Jarrett Guarantino right in the chest.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what these people are watching. I don't know what they're smoking. I don't know what they're doing. But there's no collusion between Alabama and the SEC officials. They need to drop it. I know this is about a week old. This was really hot and heavy last week.
Yeah.
But these people that have this idea that Alabama and the SEC officials are somehow in cahoots is just it's flat out ridiculous. And it's sad that anybody would even think that.
Yeah, and I've got 2 points on that. I think it was either against Tennessee or Arkansas when they was looking at Devontae Thompson for our targeting. As you can see, he led with he didn't lead with his head. He led with his shoulder. That's what you're supposed to do. You know, you're not supposed to launch or anything, you know, towards a player. And I can't recall Alabama getting a targeting penalty this year yet, as of yet. But whenever you see a big hit, you see Alabama guys, you know, leading with their shoulders. They're not leaning in with their heads. You know, they're doing it the right way. And another thing about the collusion, if we were really in the pockets of the SEC officials, then how come we didn't get any of the calls against Auburn last year in Auburn? I mean, that was an absolute joke.
My view of referees, one thing is, if they were held accountable mm-hmm. in the public's eye, the public would look at that a little bit differently. I don't think any SEC official or any official in the country for college football or NFL has any agenda when they're out there on the field.
Right.
I think when they make a call, they really believe they're making the right call. Yeah. I don't think any of them make a call when they know they're making the wrong call.
Right.
Now, as far as some of the replay reviews, I don't know why we have replay if we still can't get every one of them right.
Yeah.
That's a different story. I don't know. I mean, what's the point of going to replay if you're going to get it wrong
right.
in replay?
Yeah.
But anyway, enough on that. Let's get going and move on to the games that we have this week. We have several games to talk about. Most of them include SEC teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of our bread and butter. That's who we are. And the first one we're going to talk about is the Auburn and Texas A&M game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this game's it's kind of a weird game for me. You know, a couple weeks ago I would have said that Texas A&M wins hands down.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling quite as confident in them right now. But I do think they win. You know, I'm not sure Auburn can muster enough offense to outscore Texas A&M, because I think A&M can get a couple scores in them. I think Mon plays well. You know, they need a bounce-back win after losing on the road in Starkville last weekend. But I do think A&M gets the win. I'm just – Auburn's offense is inept. They're not able to move the ball on quality defenses, and Texas A&M has a really good defense. So, I'm going with A&M on the road in Auburn, getting a victory by the score of 24-14.
Yeah, I'm actually going the opposite way. You know, A&M struggled last week against Mississippi State. I mean, of all teams, I mean, Mississippi State hadn't done nothing.
I think that game was kind of an anomaly, because Mississippi
yeah.
State does have a really good defense. Their defense is one of the best ones in the SEC. I mean, and Nick Fitzgerald played the game of his life throwing
yeah,
the football last weekend. So, I mean, that then it was kind of a Steven Garcia versus Alabama game from 2010.
Yeah.
If people who remember that game know what I'm talking about, that's the kind of game that felt like to me. It was
yeah.
just kind of one of them anomaly games. I think A&M is a lot better team than Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't work out that way last week.
Right. But, you know, Auburn, you know, you got to think about it. Their last three SEC games was, of course, A&M. And you got Georgia on the road, and you got Alabama. And I think they've got to have this win to have any kind of confidence to beat the two big boys in, you know, in the SEC right now. So I think they're going to pull the, I'm going to say, a little upset here, 27-24.
Okay. Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. You know, Auburn really needs the win.
Yeah.
But I just feel like the loss last week will put a little fire in Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And I feel like they'll be able to get the victory down there in Auburn.
It could go either way.
Yeah, but moving on to a game outside of the SEC, we have West Virginia at Texas. And, you know, Texas got beat last week mm-hmm. in Stillwater against Oklahoma State. And Tom Herman was real fired up. To me, he showed he's very immature after the game with Mike Gundy. You know, I don't understand Herman. He hasn't done – he has not won anything as a head coach. I don't know why he thinks he's some big shot. Yeah. He hasn't done nothing yet. I'm sorry. I mean, I just don't get it. But, you know, Dana Holgorsen, and then they lost a couple weeks ago to Iowa State. But they rebounded really well last week and got the win. I believe it was on Thursday night against Baylor. Really, they stomped them.
Yeah.
I feel like West Virginia is going to have a little bit too much offense with Will Grier at quarterback. I'm going West Virginia 38-34.
Oh wow, we're going opposite ways again, man. This is good. You know, I've been high on Texas all year, especially since they beat Oklahoma. But you know, it's not really a bad loss, but you know, they did lose to Oklahoma State, and but you know, like you said, I'm going to go off for just a second, but Iowa State is a weird team in the Big 12. I mean, they beat some high ranked opponents. And then they look like absolute trash against other high-ranked opponents. I don't understand that team. But, you know, West Virginia did take the loss to them. But it's going to be a good back-and-forth game. But I'm going to give this slight edge to Texas at home, 31-24.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, most of these games are really toss-ups. You know, we try to pick the best games of the week. So, obviously, all these games could go either way. But moving on to another game outside of the SEC, we're going to the Big Ten. We got Penn State at Michigan. And I think the score will look closer than what the game really is. I think Michigan really controls the game from start to finish with their run game, with their defense. You know, Penn State hasn't been the Penn State of the last couple of years this season. Trace McSorley just hasn't been quite as good as he's been the last couple of years. I think losing Saquon Barkley really hurt their offense. Yeah. And losing Joe Moorhead, as he's the head coach now at Mississippi State. But I do think Michigan wins. I think they win somewhere around 30-24, 30-20. But I do think Michigan – it feels like Michigan wins by a bigger margin than what the final score may indicate.
Right. Yeah, you know, the Big House is going to be rocking this week, no doubt. And you know, I would really love to see a rematch of Michigan Notre Dame, because Michigan is a different team than that team that played Notre Dame again the year.
Mm-hmm.
And really, Notre Dame's a different team now.
Yeah, I agree.
So that would be a really fun matchup. But you know, Penn State's already lost twice, and I don't see them winning here. You know, I think the Big House is going to be too much for them. I'm actually going 38-28.
Okay. All right. So. We both kind of have the same kind of score margin, you know, 7 to 10 points, you know. But moving on to the second biggest game in the SEC, and who would have thought that at this point in the season that Kentucky would be hosting Georgia for the rights to the SEC East crown?
That's crazy.
That's just crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Mark Stoops has done a wonderful job there at Kentucky, you know, and, you know, they've given him time. They've been patient with him. You know, it's been, you know, 7-win seasons here and there. And he's just done a really good job of getting the type of players that he wants and developing them guys. And he's done a really good job. You know, in Georgia, they're coming off their big win against Florida in Jacksonville this last weekend. You know, and a lot of people talk about how Georgia's back after that win versus Florida. I don't ever think they were really gone.
Right.
But I don't put a whole lot of stock into that. I mean, I'd put some stock into it, obviously. But Florida really killed themselves in the first half with mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, their first play of their first possession, they had a touchdown, and Felipe Franks just missed the wide open receiver.
Yeah.
And then they fumble it on about a 15-yard run. Then they throw an interception when they're driving the field. All in their first three possessions. And you can't do that and beat a good team.
No.
So they really shot themselves in the foot early in that game. But Georgia took advantage of it, and they got the win. Jake Fromm played his best game of the season, I believe, this last week against Florida. But I'm going with the feel-good story. I'm going with Kentucky at home.
Wow.
Beating Georgia 21-20.
Wow. Wow. You know, I've been high on Kentucky all year as well. You know, they just, you know, and the SEC East is on the line, and it's at Lexington. That'd be a feel-good story for them, like you said. You know, Georgia come off that big win against Florida, but Kentucky has been struggling on offense the past couple of weeks. You know, they've And but they still got that workhorse running back, Benny Snell. I mean, that dude is just amazing. And I think he's gonna have a big day. But I think Georgia's gonna squeak one out and win 24-23.
All right. Hey, I think it's gonna be the best game of the week.
Yeah, it's gonna go down the wire.
I think as far as a matchup wise and the potential to really go down the wire, like you said.
Yeah.
To me, whoever has the ball last will probably win the game.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and props to Terry Wilson. You know, that he hasn't played well all season throwing the football for Kentucky.
Mm-mm.
But that last drive, he made every throw that he had to make to win that game for Kentucky.
Definitely.
And props to that defense for playing. I think they got 7 straight 3-and-outs on Missouri last week.
Yeah.
So Kentucky, you know, they have a lot of guts. They're playing hard, and you know, at home. I just feel like it's one of those it everything matches to me for an upset.
Oh yeah.
But moving on to our last game, we have you know, the CBS primetime game between Alabama and LSU down there in Baton Rouge. You know, this is another game of the century, so to speak. You know, there have been several leads in this rivalry, but you know, one crazy stat, everybody talks about Death Valley. Alabama in this series actually has more wins in Baton Rouge than LSU does in the entire series of Alabama and LSU. Is that not crazy? I mean,
I didn't know that.
That just shows Alabama's dominance, not just since Saban's been there, but just, you know,
in the history of
college football, they have just been a dominant program.
Yeah.
But as far as this week goes, you know, Alabama got a week off. You know, Tua could heal up that knee. He says he's 100%. He wants to give that knee brace away. I'd rather him keep it just for safe measure.
Yeah,
for but, you know, Jalen had surgery this last week. You know, we'll kind of see where he's at. I'm sure Saban will have an update for us tomorrow on his weekly press conference. But as far as the game goes, I'll just be honest with you. I don't see a way of LSU winning the game.
Mm.
Alabama is going to have to turn the ball over several times. They're going to have to play – really, really bad on offense, because the truth is, to me, you're going to have to score at least 30 points, maybe even 35 points, to beat Alabama. Is LSU capable of scoring 30 to 35 points against this Alabama defense?
No.
And I think the simple answer is no. The truth is, right now, Tua's clicking on all cylinders. He hasn't thrown an interception all year, which that will eventually change. He'll throw one sometime, and it may be this week.
Right.
But the Alabama offense is too strong. The running game's too strong. The passing game too strong. There's too many playmakers on the outside. I think maybe the first quarter it's a semi of a game, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I think Alabama runs away with it, and I'm going with a score of 41-16, Alabama.
Before I get to mine, I got one question for you.
Okay.
Do you think Tua is going to play in the fourth quarter in this game? Yeah.
I'll say yes. He finally plays in the fourth quarter of a game.
Yeah.
And that may have more to do with Jalen not being available than Tua playing out of necessity.
That's true. That could be it. If Jalen wouldn't got hurt, I would have been more like, nah, he ain't gonna play in the fourth quarter. Because I'm with you, you know.
Hey, before you go, I don't wanna act like we're some arrogant Alabama fans, because obviously anything can happen.
Yes.
Any given Saturday.
Right.
But all we can go off of is what we've seen so far this season. And so far this season, we have not seen anybody slow down to it.
No.
And they nobody can put pressure on him. And I know this is going to be the best defense we play. I understand that. But Texas A&M is as good a defense as what LSU has. And what we put on them, 45?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know how people can slow Alabama down on offense. And Alabama still has one of the better defenses in the country.
Oh yeah,
it's not a all-time great defense, but it's a really solid defense. And I just don't want people to think that we're being arrogant Alabama fans. I mean, we both love Alabama football, but we're realists. We understand that, you know, anything can happen, and it could be this Saturday that it happens. I don't know, but all we can go by is what we've seen so far this season.
Right.
And so far this season, Alabama looks unstoppable.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Jack. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good, man. And yeah, you know, Tua, when him and his receivers get on the same page, I mean, they're lights out. I mean, when Judy splits that seam and goes right up the middle, I mean, a corner can't keep up with him. That dude is just quick.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and Tua had seven, 8 seconds of throw the other day. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, when he's got that much time to read his progressions, I mean, that is crazy. And I mean, all the playmakers we have on the offensive side, the running backs, I mean, both Harris's, you know, Justin Jacobs. I mean, that dude's coming out of the backfield and catching some balls and running upfield and hitting people. I mean, I love seeing that too. And but you know, I asked you a question a while ago if Tua would play in the fourth. I'm with you. I think he made a couple of series in the fourth this year, but by the end the game's gonna be out of hand because, like you said, you know, we just go off by what we've seen, and really LSU's gonna beat Alabama with Joe Burrow, who's had he didn't even throw a touchdown pass against Florida. Or the other day against Georgia, he didn't really have that good of a game. So I mean, he's going to have like a perfect day. Alabama's going to have to make, you know, fumbles, interceptions, mistakes here, there, everything, just in a perfect storm, just come through. If there's going to be any kind of upset, I mean, it's going to be loud at Death Valley. It always is. But I think Alabama. I think we're going to win about 48-17.
Yeah. You know, so we're both looking at the game pretty much the same way.
Yeah.
And just so people listen, no, me and Jake have no idea what the other person's going to say. I let him know which games we're going to be talking about, and we each have our own notes. And
yeah.
We're hearing each other for the first time as far as our prediction goes.
Yeah.
But I want to say something else. You know, everybody's talking about Joe Burrow, and I think he's playing okay. He's not great. But to me, he's just another Danny Etling.
Yeah.
But he's a little more athletic than Danny Etling was.
Might be a little bit more accurate. I mean,
and he may be a little more accurate, but he's a little bit of an upgrade, but he's not enough of an upgrade to beat Alabama.
No.
And our prediction has really nothing to do with LSU and everything to do with Alabama.
Right.
I mean, I just can't stress enough that we're only going off what we've seen so far this season. And so far this season, Tua has picked apart everybody he's played. Now, you can talk about the competition however you want, but, I mean, that's all you can go by.
Yeah.
He's when guys are not open, he throws them open, and when they're open, he hits them right in stride. So, that's how it is right now, you know. Yeah. And like you said, Josh Jacobs is running the ball well, and then he's catching the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really a complete offense. We'll probably punt a couple times early in the game. I could see that happening.
Yeah.
So, but I just it's hard to fathom LSU being able to score enough to beat Alabama in this game.
I agree.
But that's all we got for this week. We really enjoyed getting back into doing the podcast. I've missed it the last couple of weeks, and I know Jake has too.
Yeah.
We're really having a lot of fun doing this. You remember to follow us on Twitter at @DoubleCov_pod. You can follow myself, Stacy Blackwood, at Blackwood89. Jake, what's your Twitter again?
It's JTH at Double Cover.
Okay. Well, like I said, we're enjoying doing this. Please give us some feedback. If you got something you want us to talk about, please let us know using the hashtag #DoubleCoverage. And we will talk to you again next week. Y'all have a good one. See y'all.
See y'all.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel. And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.